Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be with you guys this morning. As mentioned, Cornerstone Bible Church is where we attend, and I've been there about 7 years. And I will just say the saints at Cornerstone Bible Church send their greetings and their love to you guys. It's a regular occurrence that we're praying for this body here in Mount Angel. And like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, you love the Word. And it's my first opportunity to be here and to spend time with you this morning. So let's pray, and then we will open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Lord, we are so thankful to be here together this morning. Lord, the Lord's Day is a special day in the life of your people. Lord, we treasure this day where we can gather together in fellowship, that we can come together and share all the ways in which you're working in our lives, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. It is inerrant. It is authoritative. It is the foundation in which we base our lives upon, containing everything pertaining to life and godliness, Lord. Thank you for access to it. God, we are so thankful for all of your provisions for us. And for the opportunity to open your word this morning, we are humbled to do it together. It is in your name we pray. Amen. So let's start to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Christian life. We strive to honor the Lord with our lives. We trust Him as we walk in humble faith. We submit our lives to the reading of His holy word. We come to the Lord in prayer with repentant hearts. We thank our Savior Jesus Christ for all He has done for us on the cross. We sing songs of praise to our Almighty Father. We present our offerings with joyful hearts. We have a genuine love for the Lord, and we trust His sovereign plan for our lives. And then, what can happen? The calmness of our lives can begin to fade away. Trials come. Difficulty rushes in. And suddenly we are amidst affliction. Our hearts can become heavily burdened as our normal routines are shaken. Life becomes turbulent. We can begin looking inward as our eyes are taken off of the Lord. We can find ourselves wallowing in self-pity. Anxious thoughts and fears can crowd in. We can struggle to persevere, feeling beat down and downtrodden. And we can begin to question the Lord's plan for our lives, thinking we know best. Now, these are all responses to trial and tribulation and suffering that miss the mark. They fall short. I would expect that we have all experienced similar responses to trials at some point in our lives. Somewhere along the way, a trial came, and instead of faithfully enduring and allowing God to refine us through the trial, we went inward. We began to focus on self. We tried to do it in our own strength. Now, although we have failed in this way before, I would not expect this to be the consistent pattern of our lives when trials come. As we grow in our walk with the Lord, our sanctification, the ways that we endure through trials should be maturing as well. Suffering through trials and afflictions is one of the most difficult aspects in a Christian's life. It tests our faith as we are pressed in on from every side, as we are stretched beyond what is comfortable, And it causes our reliance on the Lord to increase if we are approaching it in a God-honoring way. Battling through afflictions is such a great opportunity for us to glorify God with our lives. In our text this morning, Paul will address this very thing. I've titled this message, God's Comfort Paid Forward. God's Comfort Paid Forward. Paul will demonstrate for us three responses for walking through affliction. The first is to worship God through the affliction. We'll see this in verse 3. Verses 4, 6, and 7, we'll see that with God's comfort, comfort others. And the third, to reflect on Christ's sufferings, we'll see in verse 5. So you're at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read our text, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. The first response for walking through affliction is to worship God through our affliction. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. After the salutation in this chapter, where Paul addresses his letter to the church at Corinth, he began the epistle with affirmation that God is to be blessed. The word blessed in Greek is the root of the English word eulogy, which we've certainly heard before, typically at funerals. It means to speak well of or to offer praise. The very nature of God is blessedness. Paul is drawing our attention to that point. Blessed be God. Now, you'll recall that Paul was no stranger to affliction and suffering. If there ever were a suffering all-star team, he would be the captain. In fact, at his conversion in Acts chapter 9, Jesus, in speaking of Paul, says, He is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. His ministry was indelibly marked by suffering. As we read in our scripture reading this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's specific sufferings are listed out. Multiple imprisonments, beaten times without number, 39 lashes 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned, shipwrecked, adrift at sea, in hunger, in thirst, sleepless nights, exposed to the elements. Paul had been put through the full gamut of affliction. And then you see his heart on top of all that in verse 28 says, apart from all such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Paul did not lose his focus on Christ. He continued to labor in building Christ's church, and he was a shepherd. During the time that this letter, 2 Corinthians, was written, there were many false teachers raising up that were trying to discredit Paul's ministry. They felt threatened by his popularity, his notoriety. He was gaining impact among the people. He had just spent 18 intense months pouring into the Corinthian church, teaching sound doctrine, correcting error, bolstering their faith, only to have the Corinthian church remain rebellious, worldly, divisive. These false teachers came in and they wanted the spotlight. And they saw an opportunity. The angle that they selected is the one that they saw that they thought they could exploit, pointing out the amount of suffering that Paul had endured. They questioned Paul's character in saying to the people, essentially, if he was truly marked for the work of the Lord, he shouldn't suffer as much as he does. They strategically placed doubts in the minds of the Corinthians. They were saying, if the Lord had truly marked him for ministry, he should be healthy. He should be wealthy. He should be living his best life now, so to speak. Does this sound familiar? This is the prosperity gospel, right? This is prevalent in the world today. And boy, were they ever far off from their assessment of Paul. Paul was being used as a faithful instrument to advance the gospel. God was using him mightily. In verse 3, Paul is giving praise where praise is due. He calls God the Father of mercies. This title points to the unfathomable mercy of God. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone else whom it is within one's own power to punish or to harm. It's what's due them. One commentator framed it up this way. Speaking of verse 3, he said, the phrase is more than just merciful Father. It characterizes what God is in himself, the fountain of mercy. He is the creator and original source of mercy. God is mercy, and there is no lack in him whatsoever. The psalmist speaks of the Lord's mercy in Psalm 86, verse 15. It reads, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. So in verse 3, Paul says, God is the God of all comfort. This comes from the Greek word paraclete. And it essentially means to come alongside, to help, to encourage, to bolster. Notice what he doesn't say here. He doesn't say, God comforts the majority of the time. Or, God is mostly the comforter. Or, God is a contributor to my comfort. He says, the God of all comfort. He is the true source of a believer's comfort. All of it. It comes from him. For us, when we hear the word comfort, some things that may come to mind. Emotional relief. A sense of well-being. Physical ease. Satisfaction. Freedom from pain. Freedom from anxiety. Rest. The Puritan Thomas Watson is quoted as saying, the word comfort has gone soft in modern English. One commentator writes, the comfort that Paul has in mind has nothing to do with a languorous feeling of contentment. It is not some tranquilizing dose of grace that only dulls pains, but a stiffening agent that fortifies one in heart, mind, and soul. Comfort relates to encouragement, help, exhortation. God's comfort strengthens weak knees and sustains sagging spirits so that one faces the troubles of life with unbending resolve and unending assurance. This is so well stated. A stiffening agent that fortifies one in heart, mind, and soul. God's comfort allows us to faithfully endure trials. Is this the way we view comfort? When we reflect on how we endure through trials, when suffering sets in, when we are in the midst, is our heart response, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ"? Do we thank the Lord for the trial? Do we thank Him for the opportunity to be refined, to reveal and strengthen our faith? Or do we go inward? Do we have self-pity in our hearts? Do we find ourselves in a woe-is-me mentality? Do we find ourselves wanting to distance ourselves from others and from fellowship? Our prayer would be that as the church, we would see the fruits of God strengthening us in trials, bolstering our faith by the encouragement through the Scriptures, strengthening us as we trust in Him, giving us a desire to be around other believers in fellowship, and ultimately finding our comfort in God, resting in His comfort. Such helpful words we find in Psalm 119, verse 50. Reads, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me." Diligent study in God's word can refresh and revive our souls. So in these circumstances, Paul teaches us to praise the Lord through the affliction. As I was reflecting on verse 3 this week, I was reminded of our beloved brother, Job. Familiar story to you, I trust. You'll recall, here is a faithful man of God who had been richly blessed by the Lord. Then one day, he received report in Job chapter 1. His oxen and his donkeys were taken. His servants and his workers were slain. The sheep were burned up in fire. The camels were taken, and on top of that, his 7 sons and 3 daughters all died, as the oldest son's house caved in on them all. And how did Job respond? We see his encouraging response in chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. It says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." It's certain Job felt immense pain in his suffering. It's very evident. Seemingly everything that he had been ripped away from him. All of his wealth, his livelihood, how he made a living, all of his children whom he loved dearly. But Job had a deeply rooted, genuine faith that allowed him to endure faithfully. And his faith on display should be a true encouragement to us as we reflect and think about that story. I know most of us here have experienced some form of a difficult trial. And in fact, you may be in one right now. Could have been or could be the loss of a spouse, the loss of a parent, the loss of a child, marriage trial, trauma, financial ruin, the loss of a job, battling a disease or chronic illness, enduring through a debilitating condition, a rebellious or wayward child that has turned his or her back on the Lord. And what is the instruction? Paul is instructing us to worship the Lord through our affliction. Why? Because he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and he will faithfully supply all we need. The second response for walking through affliction is, with God's comfort, comfort others. Read verses 4, 6, and 7. God who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Affliction in this context is literally means pressure, a crushing pressure. Paul regularly uses the word affliction to either refer to external distress or inner torment, and both of these may be involved here. One commentator noted, Paul viewed himself as a conduit through which God's comfort could flow to the Corinthians, a conduit widened by all the sufferings he had endured. Those who experience the most suffering will receive the most comfort, and those who receive the most comfort are thereby richly equipped to comfort others. Verse 4, God comforts us in all our affliction. Again, Paul ensures it's not a partial comforting. It's not certain afflictions. It's all inclusive. It is every single circumstance. He never leaves. He never forsakes. There is no end to the rich comfort that he provides through our trials. And did you notice the purpose statement in verse 4? Says, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Did you know that when we go through trials, it is not just about us? It's partially for our growth, our refinement, our sanctification. But believers receive comfort as a stewardship. It's a gift, and it is our responsibility as Christians to pass this on to others, to pay it forward. I'd ask, is this the way that you have viewed suffering and trials in the past? That trials are being brought into my life so that not only I can grow, but so that I can comfort others. Afflictions and trials are to be expected in the lives of Christians. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It's so helpful to view it from God's perspective, remembering that we are in this trial to not only refine us and our character, to increase our faith, our reliance on him, but he comforts us so that we can comfort others as they are in affliction. This makes us useful to the body of Christ. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. You don't need to turn there. It says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. We see the end result of these tribulations is hope. And the text says that we exult in our tribulations. I don't know if you've ever looked up the definition of the word exult in the dictionary, but think of it this way. As you are in affliction, it's to feel or show triumphant elation or jubilation. And through trials, we can share the hope in which only the Lord can provide. The source of the comfort is worth reviewing. Comfort based on human wisdom and human strength is short-lived. It won't last. It's fleeting. And it doesn't address the deep issues of the heart. The only true source of hope and strength is God's supernatural comfort. It comes through the Holy Spirit and through the reading of God's Word. The works of the Lord are incredible. God will use certain trials and afflictions in our lives to increase our faith and our usefulness in the church. I'm sure you've seen this happen in your church, because this is a faithful church. There are individuals that have walked through specific trials. And as you see them going through the trial, what happens? They get to the end of it. They become the go-to resource for others facing similar circumstances. Why? Well, it's evident they are individuals that have honored Christ and endured through that trial. They've gleaned the Lord's wisdom through it. Their faith has been strengthened. They have become useful to the body of Christ. Have you ever been on the receiving end of this type of godly comfort from another? As another believer highlights the ways in which the Lord ministered to their hearts through a similar trial, they share verses that bring you great encouragement. You may leave thinking, that's exactly what I needed to hear. They share key truths that the Lord revealed to them through His Word. This is the comfort of God they experienced through the trial, which was then used to comfort you. What an absolute praise that is. My family has received this type of comfort many times in the church. One specific example, after fostering and adopting our son, Reggie, we brought his biological brother home from the hospital on day two. He spent a little over a year in our home. All along that path, at least the first 6 to 8 months, it looked as if we were going to adoption. And praise the Lord, the mom came back. She got sober. Got to the point where our plans were not the Lord's plans. He was reunited with his biological mother after a year in our home. You can imagine, this was a difficult time. Our pastor connected us with another family who had gone through a very similar trial. They had had a child that had been in their home for over 2 years that was returned to a biological mother. And I can tell you, they shared verses, they encouraged us, they bolstered our faith in a way that I can't thank them enough. That is God's comfort being paid forward to others. It ministered specifically to our hearts. I would commend to you to take time this week to reflect on afflictions and trials that you've experienced in your life. How have you been comforted by God through those trials? Reflect on God's faithfulness. If you haven't taken the time to write out some verses and truths that you gleaned, that you clung to in the depths, I'd encourage you to do so. Because this comfort, when it is shared with others, will be useful for ministering to the body of Christ. Alternatively, have you ever gotten to the end of a trial and had someone come up to you and ask, how has the Lord used these circumstances in your life? Were there any verses that you clung to? How were you refined? What did you learn? There have been a few times in my life in which I couldn't specifically identify those truths when asked. I knew God had been a part of it. I knew He had sustained us. I wasn't sure. It brought great conviction to my heart, and what it revealed in my heart was there are times that we are simply looking to the relief at the end. The removal of the uncomfortable circumstances, as opposed to praising God in the midst, as we are instructed. Notice in verse 6, he says, "But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer." Again, we see this cause and effect relationship. We are comforted so we can comfort others. And as the text says, it can even lead to salvation and surely sanctification, growth in the Lord. We are to thank the Lord for Him bringing the affliction into our lives. The third and final response for walking through affliction is to reflect on Christ's sufferings. Verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." See the correlation here. Just as, so also. The magnitude of our suffering is aligned with the comfort that God gives us to endure it. He provides what we need every single time. He covers it completely. It's important to note here that God does not promise comfort to those who suffer from their unrepentant sin, but to those who suffer for Christ. It's not a free pass for all. Those that are unrepentant will not receive God's comfort. In fact, we actually see the chastening of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord's discipline, which we don't have time to turn to this morning. Let's look at what Peter has to say about God's comfort. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." When we share in Christ's sufferings, we are blessed. For our testing, the text says. It's for our good. Again, it reaffirms the response should be worship of our mighty God. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of His peace and comfort in John 16, verse 33. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." As we reflect on Christ's sufferings on our behalf, we are comforted. We serve a God who defeated sin, and He overcame the world. Trials and afflictions in our lives, although uncomfortable and often incredibly painful, can bring tremendous blessing in our lives as we worship God through the affliction, as we comfort others with God's comfort, and as we reflect on what Christ has done on our behalf. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful for Your word. God, we see the trials that You put us through, and And Lord, our fleshly response is not always the right response. God, we confess that to you. God, we see that you work all things for the good, Lord, for the building up and the strengthening of our faith, and so that we can also bless others as we pay this forward. God, I pray that we would give great and diligent thought to all the ways in which you have been faithful to us in our lives, that we would be ready to give an account of that, and that we would endure faithfully through it all. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.